Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show.
Not sure if you're aware, but it's time for Two Dudes in an NES!
Hey Justin.
Hey man.
You want to play? Oh wait. You don't want to play a game, do you?
Well, I don't have a game.
Okay. I guess we can do something else.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. You know, I like secrets. I like Easter eggs. Easter's right around the corner.
Yeah, next weekend. Yeah.
Want to decorate a little Nintendo Easter egg?
Sure.
Okay.
Nintendo give us some Easter eggs throughout history we can talk about.
Yeah. Maybe not tidbits and trivia version of history, but...
Yeah. What is the history behind calling them Easter eggs? Do you know?
I have no idea. I don't know. That's what people have always called it, and that's what I've called it.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to take a guess. This is strictly a guess to our listeners, so don't call me out when I get this wrong. But I'm going to say, since they're just hidden gems, Easter eggs are usually hidden gems. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take a guess, too. I'm going to say that they're colorful, and they're fun, and I'm just blowing smoke. I don't know.
What if there's if there's several Easter eggs in a game, then there has to be a prize egg.
Right, with money in it.
Right.
Right. Which some of these that we're going to talk about today kind of are prize eggs, right? Inside the game.
I think,
They have some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what's the first one you want to talk about?
Well, Justin, let me also mention that I put a bunch of hints on the internet. On the internet, I put some hints.
The interweb.
And
the www.
The triple W's.
Mm-hmm.
Tri dubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wanting people to guess what our hints were. Right?
Guess what the game. What? Not guess what the hints were.
Oh, no. Guess what the hints represented. What Easter egg hints represented.
Mm-hmm.
I think I made the hints a little too cryptic. So, but we'll go through them as we go through, and I'll use the hint as kind of a see if we can guess what it is. But of course, we know what it is. But anyways,
yeah,
I put up a picture of a tombstone that says, "Here lies Walt. It wasn't his fault." And that Easter egg actually applies to Final Fantasy, because in Final Fantasy they put up. There's a tombstone that you can find in Final Fantasy that says, "Here lies Edric."
Mm-hmm.
And Edric is actually the name of the character in Dragon Warrior. So it's kind of
I guess it's kind of like Final Fantasy saying, well, here we come, Dragon Warrior, you're going down.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
And Edric was only 7, though? I mean, if you read the dates, it's 873 to 866. Which, I don't know.
I guess he was a 7-year-old.
Well, okay.
Well,
anyway.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool. It's kind of a... I don't know if it's Final Fantasy having a lot of bravado and saying, hey, you know, too bad, Dragon Warrior. We're better than you. Or if it's just kind of just them saying, oh, we do realize Dragon Warrior's out there and it's pretty much started something, so we're going to put it in the game.
I want to go with the latter. Or no, the former, and say I think they were calling them out, saying... We're coming after you.
Yeah.
You're going down.
I think they were too. I think that's pretty cool that you can find that in the game. Of course, you'd have to know who Edric was in order to figure this out.
It's another thing about these Easter eggs is how many people would not only find them, but not know what they mean or anything like that. Tell me what you think about this. And this is kind of off subject, but this reminded me of it. I've always thought one of the greatest intimidating tactics that a football team could do is, you know, when a player dies on their team, they put like a patch that says RIP, the number or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if like a team defense came out and had RIP and the number of the quarterback for the other team?
I think that's really disrespectful, bro.
Well, it'd be disrespectful. Would it be a little intimidating, maybe?
Yeah, it would be.
Well, the Final Fantasy thing reminded me of it because, you know.
I mean, that is kind of what they did.
Yeah.
When they made the game. Yeah. Okay, before we move on to the next hint, I just want to say that there is another secret / hint in Final Fantasy that we kind of, maybe we can kind of tie in with this because it's not really an Easter egg, it's more of a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that you can play a sliding puzzle game in Final Fantasy?
I did not, but
it's pretty hard to get to. What you have to do is you have to hold down the A button and press the B button 55 times. But if you do that, you play a sliding puzzle game, and when you win the sliding puzzle game, you get 100 gold. Or 100
you know,
G, or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about these things with, like, A, I mean, are they supposed to be to where people can just happen on them? Because I don't think anybody's going to happen on that.
No.
Hitting the button 55 times.
You would have to know.
Yeah. And the second thing is all of these things came out before the internet. You know, now, if you did secrets in the game, it's going to be on the internet. You can just type in whatever game, whatever secret, and you're going to find somebody's got them out there. Back then, that's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that in past game discussions, you know, passwords, stuff like that. This is all word of mouth at that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if let's be honest, Justin, we wouldn't be doing this show. Well, not only because we have to, it's a podcast and you release it on the internet, but you and I would not be talking secrets instead if it wasn't for the internet, because I would not have found half of these things probably on my own.
Dig. Mm. That's deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Wow. The next number... 4. Wait, how many do we have? 5? 6? 7?
I think it's like 7. I wouldn't number them because we're getting confused.
Okay, yeah. Alright, we're not numbering. Okay, number... Alright. The next hint that I dropped on the interwebs was a picture of a bull standing in a pasture. And I didn't realize... Oh, wait, I guess I should go back real quick. People, feedback. We'll do feedback on these as we go along, too. So before we move on to the bull, sorry. Let's go back to Final Fantasy. Aaron Hickman said, here lies Link, Final Fantasy. Which is something to note that in the NES version, it did not say, here lies Link. But in subsequent versions, and the re-releases, they actually changed it to, here lies Link.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But
the correct answer came from Adam Ford. And he says, here lies Edric. He also says something about possibly from Epic Mickey, Walt Disney's apartment on the second floor of the fire station. So I guess they do something like that on that too. All right, anyways, moving on to the bull.
Okay.
The picture the bull. Of the bull was supposed to represent the bald bull in Punch-Out. I think that confused people because the picture of the bull I put had like tons of hair on his head.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You should have put a shaved bull on there.
Yeah. I later on had to say another hint, perhaps, this bull is surely wearing a toupee. So,
did anybody get it?
No, nobody got that one. I think it's my fault for putting such a hairy bull.
But yeah.
That actually applies to your fight with Bald Bull and Punch-Out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cool little story on NintendoEverything.com where they talk with Iwata in an interview about the secrets of the game. And I don't know if it's just the fact that everybody knew this. Of course, I didn't know this. I don't know if everybody just knew this Easter egg or hint and just never even talked about it because they just assumed everybody knew it. Or nobody even noticed it, but for 22 years, nobody ever really mentioned this.
Yeah.
But when the bald bull goes to charge you, there's a guy in the crowd that takes a picture of a camera with his camera. There's a flash. And when the light flashes, that's when you punch. And you'll land the body blow. Because everybody's always worried about timing with the bald bull, because he's really hard to time most of the time, coming down. But if you just wait for that camera flash, as soon as it flashes, you punch and you land that body blow, and he goes down.
Yeah.
But nobody, but for 22 years, nobody ever mentioned it or said anything about it.
That's neat. You know, it's amazing that little Mac doesn't throw nothing but body blows because he's so small.
Well, he has to jump. He's got some ups.
Yeah. He's like a child fighting all these characters. But anyway, well,
he really was like a teenager, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, that reminds me, not to get off topic here, but, you know, in Super Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers, you could all, there's you know, in games, you can time things, you can figure things out. And, you remember the hammer throwers in Super Mario Brothers? If they jump 8 times and then they come after you. So you just wait on them, and then they'll come after you, and you just jump over.
Do they not throw hammers when they come after you? I guess they don't.
Yeah, they're still throwing hammers, but they'll walk for a little bit before they jump, so you have time to jump over them.
Okay.
And my dad actually figured that one out.
Nice.
But yeah, anyway, but that's kind of the same thing as Raging Bull. There's little hints that you can figure out to time things.
Did you just say Raging
not
Bull?
Not Raging Bull, Bald Bull. Wrong name.
Wasn't Raging Bull the nickname for some other boxer?
I don't know, but Raging Bull, that sounds familiar.
Maybe it's a movie.
Maybe it's an energy drink. That's Red Bull.
Yeah. Well,
it should have been called Raging Bull, not Red Bull.
Yeah, well, Red Bull's second cousin, Raging Bull.
Yeah. He's a little off the cuff. He can't really control him, so he couldn't really be the namesake for the company.
Right. Well, he's that cousin that you have, you know, that he's somehow always at the bar, and you just
you can't.
He's always calling you at like 2 a.m. like, "Hey man, come to the bar."
Yeah, you can't be. He can't. You can't hold him accountable. Like it's just Yeah.
If I were to describe Raging Bull versus Red Bull in Tom Arnold's and Vladimir Putin's, Red Bull would probably be Vlad, and Raging Bull would probably be Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Anyway, Bald Bull, take him down, body shot, and the flash. I guess the flash gets in his eyes.
Man, it must be. He's seeing spots. Another little tidbit about the bald bull, which is not really an Easter egg, but I just thought it was a cool thing as I was looking up this other secret/Easter egg. No other opponent in the game gets up at the count of nine, but the second time you fight Bald Bull, he always gets up at the count of nine. So I thought that was kind of cool. That really has nothing to do with Easter eggs or secrets, but I liked it, so I was going to say it anyways.
How rude.
Are you pulling a Full House reference out on me? Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Cut it out. Cut it out.
Not two.
Oh, you got it, dude. All right, moving on.
Please, please stop.
We're getting out of hand.
Okay. All right, so the next one, the hint that I dropped is a pretty big hint. There's apparently energy drinks that are made in the shape and form of Mega Man energy tanks, which I want really bad. I want some of these. But that is supposed to represent, in Mega Man 5, the secret of the Mega Tank, as it is so called.
Yeah, I like this one. This one may be my favorite.
Go ahead and describe this one, Justin.
So basically, you get a tank when your life is full. And then you want to go to an area in the level where there's a lot of enemies. All right, and then you you pause, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to you use the
energy pause and you use the energy drink and then well, I said energy drink, but the energy tank, and then you come back into the game and all of the enemies have turned into one-ups.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. If you're if you have full life and you use an E-tank, then all the bad guys that are around you, when you come out of the pause screen, they're all extra lives.
Yeah, and that's one that I think, you know, like some of these that we're talking about, you'll never figure out. Like, I just don't think, like Final Fantasy, you're going to hit the button 55 times. Nobody's going to figure that out. But this one, I think somebody could have figured out by accident. Oh, why'd I use my energy tank? I've got a full life. And you come back into the game and you notice one of you bad guys is now one up.
Yeah. Well, you'd probably be pretty upset at first. Yeah. Like, I was saving that for the robot at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But then come back out and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It'd be a pleasant surprise. And then once you figure it out, you can just keep... You can enhance that by going to areas with a lot of bad guys. That's really interesting. That there's a lot of games in which you can do that. You know, we can talk about where you can get a lot of extra lives. There's little parts of the game. One that comes to mind again, not to go back to this game again, but Super Mario Brothers, where you can kick the turtle shell over and over on the, I think it's the third step in World 3-2. Is that it?
I don't remember which world it is, but I think it's something like that.
It's the dark level. But you know,
the one where the turtle comes down the stairs at the end.
And then there's two turtles. You kick the second. And if you can time it where you can hit it on that third step and just kick it over and over again. But it's kind of like the Mega Man thing. But I always was amazed at that because my grandmother knew how to do that. And I'm not real sure how she figured that out, kicking that turtle shell over and over again. But
probably how all of us figured these things out, it's by accident.
Yeah. But
or did she get a subscription to Nintendo Power that we didn't know about?
Maybe she did. I don't know.
Grandma and her Nintendo Power. You just can't pry her away from it.
That's true. But, the Mega Man... that's a really cool one and really useful too.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe we probably could have done an Easter egg show and a secret show separately, because the secret show could have been like really long. Could have had like 15 secrets or something.
Yeah.
But anyways, Easter egg shows.
Yeah.
Secret shows.
It's all the same. We'll probably do another show on Easter egg. Maybe next year do an Easter egg and make it a yearly thing.
A yearly thing? We're just finding more and more Easter eggs every year?
Easter eggs for Easter.
Yes. That's a good idea. All right. Yeah. Moving on. Okay, well, I guess to the feedback real quick. William Old says, he's talking about the energy drinks. He says, I've seen these, but I don't know if they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
He has an E-Tank mug that he sometimes drinks out of.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Yeah.
And he says he thinks he knows this hint. He said there should be a bird in the picture, too. I think he may have been... There's another thing that you can do in Mega Man 5. I think it's 5 or 6 or 1. I can't remember. But there's another thing you can do where if you get everything in the game, like all the E-Tanks, then you get like a bird or something as as a pet. Kind of like Rush, the dog. You get like a bird that you can use.
A canary.
Yeah. Yeah. Helps you get out of the mines.
Yeah.
Or wait, no. Helps you decide if the mines are toxic.
Poisonous, yeah. Toxic, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what he was thinking of. Which is also something kind of... That also could be an Easter egg, I guess, but...
Yeah, I think Putin would like Mega Man. What do you think?
Putin, yeah. Putin rejoices at the thought of robots killing robots.
Robot Man, yeah. He likes Robot Man. I'm just going to say he's probably a robot guy.
He's got to be a robot guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. The next one is hint number 4 was Masters of Disguise. And it was a picture of... those glasses with the nose mm-hmm. and the little mustache, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. This is another one of my favorites.
Yeah, this was a really hard hint for people to get. Because I just made it way too cryptic and it's hard for people to figure out.
Yeah.
Aaron Hickman had a lot of good guesses as far as games that had disguises in them. He guessed Little Nemo, Ninja Crusaders, Kirby. Because, you know, all these games you transform into something else.
And even Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, it could have been Super Mario Bros. 3. I mean...
Yeah.
And although Kirby kind of looks like an Easter egg sometimes, it's not Kirby. It's actually none of these games. This was a hard one because it's actually not... The disguises doesn't have anything to do with the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is Super Mario Bros., the first one.
Yeah.
This is probably one of my favorite Easter eggs, too. This one's about Bowser's disguises, right?
Yeah, so, this is one that I found by accident playing that I never quite understood until we talked about this for the show.
Right.
Basically, when in Bowser in 1 through 7 in the castles, if you kill them with the fireballs, then they turn into something else. And what that's supposed to represent is like a Goomba disguised as Bowser. And
whatever he turns into.
Right, right.
Goomba. Sometimes he turns into a Spiny or the Blooper or a Hammer Brother or whatever. And they actually increase in difficulty as the worlds increase. Like there's World 1's a Goomba, World 2's a Troopa, World 3's a Buzzy, World 4's a Spiny, World 5's mm-hmm. a Lakitu. World 6 is a Blooper, and World 7 is Hammer Brother. So
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, Hammer Brother, that's just insult to injury that you get a Hammer Brother. I just killed Bowser. But I guess if you've got a... If you're fireball throwing Mario, you don't have much to worry about.
Right. If you can keep fireball throwing Mario throughout the whole game somehow...
Yeah.
I agree.
It's almost kind of a cheap way.
Yeah, because every Bowser is just so easy. You just shoot a bunch of fireballs at him.
Yeah. You know, did I ever tell you that when I was a kid, it's the way Mario looks when he throws the fireball. I always thought he was spitting fireballs.
I did too.
He holds his
hand up to his mouth.
Yeah, I used to call it a spitter. Yeah.
The spitter.
The spitter Mario. I wonder how many people actually thought he was spitting fireballs.
I don't know. We should put like a poll up how many people actually thought that he was spitting fireballs instead of throwing them.
Yeah, because it looks like he's spitting fireballs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, sweet.
All right, moving on. So the last hint that I actually put up on Facebook is not the last hint we'll talk about. But the last hint I put up on Facebook was a picture of a cat, a little kitty cat. A black cat with white paws, which looks like my cat that I had when I was in my younger days. Anyways, I named my cat after a video game character. And the hint was, Michael named his cat after a video game character, and she immediately left on a difficult journey. A quest, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So...
do you want me to say it, or you
yes? The name of my cat?
Yeah. Go ahead, you say it.
It was Zelda, of course. Yeah. Cute little Zelda. She had a brother named Link.
Now, this was the cat, too, that wouldn't she come back?
After being gone for a long time. This would be a good time to talk about this cat, because this is probably a pretty funny little segment if we talk about the cat for a minute.
Yeah.
This cat was pretty crazy. She was really sweet. She almost acted like a dog when she was around people. She'd play fetch, and she would like just kind of be like a lap cat when she was around people. But at night, we would leave her away to get out of the house, and she would escape at night. But she'd always come back. But 9 times out of 10, she would come back pregnant. Because we never got her fixed.
She was a lady of the night.
She was a lady of the night. Poor Zelda.
But you know the thing about. Was she the cat, or was it Link that, like, went to the neighborhood lower down, and, like, you'd see her every now and then, and then, like, they'd come back?
No, that was Link. See, Zelda, she died at one point. Because I guess somebody got her, or I don't know. She just died. But Link lived on for a long time, but it seemed like after Zelda died, Link ran away. But we would see him, in everybody else's yard all the time. He was always in the other neighborhoods, or we'd see him, and every now and then he'd come back to the house and lay on the porch. It was really weird.
it's like he knew it's time for me to move on. like a kid when he turns 18, and he leaves and he goes and lives somewhere else, and he comes back home to visit.
Or maybe he may not really understood what happened, and since he was named Link and she was named Zelda, maybe he just thought that she had been nabbed by Ganon.
Maybe.
And he decided he was going off on all these quests to try to get her back.
Maybe.
And after he would fail, he'd come back and lay down on the porch and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Another hard day.
Zelda was the one that could escape. Like, she could get in and out of the house, right? She could open doors.
Oh, yeah. She could open doors somehow. Like, even when we would try to keep her in, she would still get out at night. I have no idea. And I have no idea how she would do it.
Well, maybe we should talk about the actual Easter egg of the game.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So, tell me about the Zelda.
So, in Zelda, when you played the first Zelda on NES, if you play through it all the way to the end and you beat it, then you're presented with a second quest. You get to play it again. And, well, the cool thing is, the reason that they did this is because after they made the whole game, they realized, wow, we only took up like half the space on this cart. We can do a lot more if we just want to fill it up. So they made a second quest. But anyway, the Easter egg is that if you want to just skip that first quest altogether, all you got to do is name your character Zelda. If you name your character Zelda, you start on the second quest instead of the first quest.
Yeah.
So that's the Easter egg.
Yeah. Pretty neat. Yeah. And it's a good way to do it if you don't want to go through the whole quest to get to the second quest.
Yeah. Right, but it's one of those things that you would have to just happen upon it.
Yeah.
You know, it's either word of mouth or accidental that you just named your character Zelda.
I'd say that would happen probably more often than not.
Yeah, it probably would. I mean, you just name your character after the name of the game. Because most people probably thought that the name of the character in the game was Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't really give you a whole lot of... they didn't really tell you a whole lot.
Yeah.
By the way, this is... Aaron Hickman said this is his favorite Easter egg.
All right.
He put it on our feedback wall.
Queet.
Cool. What did you just say? Queet?
Queet.
That's cool, makes it sweet. It's queet.
Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back.
I just want to say that the Two Dudes in a Nest show, it's like the greatest thing since, like, the cheese log. I mean, what did we do before we had logs of cheese? I mean, in the same way, how were we able to live without Two Dudes in a Nest? I mean, you know, it's just amazing how far technology has come from the cheese log to Two Dudes in a Nest. I just thought I'd add that little bit of enlightenment to all of your lives. So carry on, and be sure to thank both folks and all folks in charge of Two Dudes and a Nest, as well as the creator of the cheese log. Have a wonderful day.
Alright. Sorry about that quick break. We don't usually do like commercial breaks in our show, but for all of our friends who listen, we probably don't have any friends who listen. I had to pull a Carl, so...
Oh, man.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I hope somebody out there listens and knows what that means. It's kind of an inside joke for us that will probably remain an inside joke.
Yeah.
If you really, really want to know, listeners, what pulling a Carl is, email us or send us a private message because it's a super secret thing. It's an Easter egg, yeah, if you will. And the only way to find that Easter egg... is to contact us directly.
You don't want to find that Easter egg.
All right.
anyway. Okay. So, finished up our cat talk.
Yep. Finished up the cat talk. Finished up the
Welcome
Zelda talk.
Welcome to the Cat Fancy podcast.
Yeah. I think we also finished up the Zelda talk. I mentioned that Aaron, it was Aaron's favorite.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're down to our last two. I don't know if this is counting down from 7. I've lost complete track. I'm glad we didn't try to keep track of it. So we're down to our last two. So number 2 on our list, our top list, is the Super Mario 3 whistles. Whistles.
Yeah. That was awful.
that wasn't even the jingle, was it?
I tried to do the jingle, but then,
you want to take another stab at that?
I don't know. Yeah. It's like I can't do it. I can hear it in my head, but I can't translate.
Oh, boy. All right. We may need to take another break. You may need to pull another car.
the whistle. And, you know, to get the first one, you have to hunker down on that block.
That's the craziest
thing.
Fall. How would anybody ever figure that out?
I don't know. And then you fall behind the world. It's like, it's like this is a stage setup. And you go behind the scene, behind the stage.
Yeah. Well, actually, did they not? I think that they had it in the movie The Wizard. I think he did that in The Wizard. I may be completely wrong. And I'm sure people are going to hate us for being wrong as usual, but I think it was in The Wizard, and I think that's how some people knew how to do that.
Okay. I don't know how I figured it out.
I don't either. I think somebody had to have told me how to do it or something.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. But then the second whistle in the first world, when you go in the dungeon, and then you get the fly, the wings, and you kill the bones guy, then you have to fly up above the world, basically. Mm-hmm. Then finally you get to the point where you can just go on top, and you just run and jump, or you just run, and eventually, sometimes though, it didn't really work, and I'm not real sure why. Sometimes you would run up there for a minute before it would take you to where the whistle was. don't understand.
I think
why
there
was
a door, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to get to the door. And maybe the door's the way at the end of the castle.
But sometimes it was like it would go really easily, just like as soon as you got up there and you just ran to the end, it would just take you right to it. And then sometimes it's like you'd have to run around for a minute to get the second whistle. But anyway, you get the two whistles, you go to the world, you beat the first world, get to the second world, and then you can whistle right to world 8.
Yep. And there's another whistle. Yeah. Do you know where the third whistle is?
I used to remember, but I can't recall.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know, me either. We're not very good. Oh. We are not very good NES dudes. We're not very good two dudes to not even know where the third whistle is in Mario.
I guess you were probably relying on me to say, yeah, it was actually right over here. But not.
I was. You failed me miserably.
You should know better than that.
I won't ever rely on you again.
Yeah. Whistle. I'm going to Google it while we're talking here.
Okay. Well, then I will just talk about how, after discovering the whistles, I don't think I ever played any of the levels two through seven again.
Yeah.
Although every now and then I would stop off in Big World, the Little Big World or whatever, just because it was so much fun. When everything was giant, mm-hmm. every now and then I'd mm-hmm. take a little pee break at the Big World.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. Yeah, that's kind of like the original Super Mario Brothers 2. Once you figure out where the warp zones are, you just don't play the game anymore.
Yeah.
So here's the third whistle. Is in World 2. With the Boomerang Brothers. Remember the Boomerang Brothers would come into the world and mm-hmm. fight them. Yeah. It wasn't an actual level. And the players will then obtain a hammer.
And you break down the boulder. Yeah, I remember now.
The right of the map screen.
Yep.
You go to the secret passage. There's a toad house, which contains three frog suits and a fire brother. Defeating the fire brother awards the player a whistle.
Okay.
Also, in World 5-1, in the Japanese version only. Gotta be the Japanese version to do this one. There's a glitch in 5-1 that makes a random item appear at the end of the level. It can be done by flying above the stack of blocks at the end of the level. After that, behind the roulette box, the player will notice glitch graphics. By hitting it from far left corner, the player will either earn 5 extra lives or a warp whistle. It was removed from the American release in both American and Japanese version of Super Mario Bros. All-Stars, Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Bros. 3 Remake, thus not allowing the player to obtain this world whistle. It's only in the Japanese version, and none of the subsequent versions of this game.
Why would you want one all the way in World 5 anyways?
I know, that's what I was about to say.
I don't know.
You're in 5, then move on. You're obviously playing the game through.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. We ready to go to number one?
The number one.
You want to drop off an honorable mention first?
Let's see. What about the Minus World in Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You remember how to get
it's
to the Minus World?
It's kind of a glitch, really.
Yeah.
Which would be the reason why it's not in our real list. Because it's just just an honorable mention because it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of a glitch than an actual Easter egg.
Right. So it's one of the more famous ones, though.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that honorable mention.
But it's kind of a glitch to where it's not really, like, it's maybe cool to do, but you don't really want to do it a lot because it definitely does not enhance the game.
No, it actually prevents you from playing the game if you get to Minus World.
Yeah. So anyway. Then this is one that I knew about, but I couldn't do very well. It's really kind of hard to do, in my opinion. You stand on the pipe in World 1-2, standing on the pipe that leads to the flagpole at the end of the level. And you move to the far left, duck while facing left, and jump. And then while the while you're in the air, move right, and when he's about to come back down, he should just be under the ceiling, and then you go move through the pipe and through the wall into the warp lane.
Yeah, I couldn't. I've never been able to do it. I've tried several times.
Yeah. And it's kind of a convoluted way to do things.
Well, you're not supposed to be able to do it, so...
Yeah, yeah. One thing that is interesting about this one is the Famicom disk system version. Have you heard about this one?
Probably. I don't know.
You access it the same way, but it's really different. It's like World 1-3, because the original Minus World is like 7-2, I believe. That's right, 7-2. Yeah, it's 7-2, but it's a water level. Yeah. But this one is a version of 1-3 with underwater, and it has like really weird stuff. They have multiple floating Princess Toadstools, and a floating, and this is the best one, and a floating headless Bowser.
Oh. Now that is a scary Minus World.
So the Famicom Minus World's a little more obscure.
This sounds like a horror movie.
Floating princesses?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to number one.
All right.
Number one is the Metroid password system.
Mm-hmm.
And just the passwords in Metroid.
Yeah, this is one that you'd never figure out, in my opinion.
Yeah, see,
unless your name is Justin Bailey.
Right, and you just decide you want to try to enter your name.
As a password, yeah.
Yeah. So, what's cool about the Metroid... Hit that out.
Oh, boy.
What's cool about the Metroid password system is they actually had, like, a... Not only they had passwords, but they also had a system where you couldn't hack it and make your own, because there was like this check. They had like this check system to make sure it was a real password. So a lot of, I guess we should preface this by saying a lot of NES games had password systems that obviously the coders didn't want to put in every single permutation of a password. So they had a system where, you know, if this one's one, this one's two, then you get this weapon and you're on this level or whatever. So a lot of them are easily cracked and easily hacked. And you can go on the internet now and do like password generators and stuff that will find passwords, like for Mega Man. If you want to be on certain boss with certain weapons and stuff, the passwords are easily hacked where you can do that. Well, Metroid was not one of these that you could easily hack and make up your own passwords and get to certain points, because it had like a fail-safe to make sure that you found the right password, right? So there's two famous passwords that we now know of for Metroid. One of them's Justin Bailey, and then the other one is Narpus Sword. And these are ways to have all the weapons, but I think like a bathing suit version of Samus. But you start the game with all this stuff, right?
Right.
Well, so what's cool is that there's these passwords, especially the Justin Bailey password, they're probably only discovered by just complete fluke. And it's not that, you don't just type in Justin Bailey. You type in Justin Bailey and like a bunch of zeros or something.
Yeah.
So it's cool. What's cool about it is somebody would have had to just been like Justin Bailey 00000000. And then, oh hey, look at that! I'm a naked Samus.
Yeah. Unless, like I said, unless your name is Justin Bailey, how many Justin Baileys are out there in the world?
I don't know. Isn't there a story about just like there's a bunch of different theories about Justin Bailey? There was one really cool theory that I read, and I can't remember what it was. It has something to do with like the Austin, like the Australian word for bathing suit is Bailey or something. So by doing Justin Bailey's, it's like she's just in Bailey's, you know, like she's just in her bathing suit or something like that.
there's some conspiracy theories out there. The Metroid database has tried to debunk the myths. Why it is deliberately that it was deliberately coded? They say it wasn't deliberately coded. So this is a quote from the Metroid database saying the Justin Bailey password is a total fluke. If you play around with Metroid's password system, something you can do with the Metroid password generator program found in fan apps, you can come up with other names and words that work as passwords. The Justin Bailey code is one which was found early on and happened to work pretty well, so it became widely reported. But no, don't know what. There has to be a reason, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You would think. And NARP.
Who is Justin Bailey?
Yeah, Justin, if you're out there, we are in search of you, Justin Bailey.
We need to call. Here's what we got to do. We got to call Rob McCallum. Okay, once you get done with this NES Club documentary.
Do a documentary in search of Justin Bailey?
The search for Justin Bailey.
Huh.
It's better than Bobby Fischer.
Yes, yeah. That's a good one. I like that. I'd watch it.
The search for Justin Bailey.
It's kind of like, isn't there I can't remember that. Maybe the Angry Video Game Nerd. Somebody's doing a documentary right now or just done one or about to do one where they're in search of all the old E.T. carts that were supposedly buried in the desert. The Atari 2600 E.T. carts.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to search those down. Huh. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
There's, you know, when we had Rob on the show, we kind of talked about it, but with the technology with cameras nowadays and obviously with like crowdfunding things, you can do documentaries on just about anything and there's an audience for documentaries. Almost, you know, documentaries have really gained popularity. And,
are you trying to say you want to start a Kickstarter where you and I try to search down Justin Bailey?
Yeah. We're going to need Rob's help though.
Yeah. Rob, I hope you still listen to the show after your show. I got this funny feeling that anytime we have guests on, they only listen to the show that they're on and they just quit listening to us.
Either that, yeah. They just think, those guys are idiots. Moving on.
Yeah. I guess we should move on, too. We've been talking for a while about this, and we've gotten off on a lot of tangents.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about a little feedback? We got a new rating on iTunes.
Yeah, I do want to talk about
that. I don't think you're going to like this
about
one.
The four-star? Well, no, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll say my piece after. I'm not angry.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead.
All right, this one is from, it looks like Fish Lips J.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this is an awesome show. I love listening to the next week's soundtrack and trying to figure out which game it is. That and also listening to Justin massacre every single Japanese name he tries to read. And here it comes. My only problem is some of the history and trivia for games seems wrong. I find myself yelling the truth while listening to it at work. And he actually says trivia for Signs games. S-I-N-E-S. Maybe that's a typo.
I just kind of figured that was a typo.
Anyways.
But here's my thing. Here's my rebuttal. I don't have any rebuttal for the Japanese names, and I will probably continue to say them.
Well, he liked that, so.
Yeah. But the history thing, I'm kind of just a product of what the internet gives me. I don't have like a Nintendo Power collection library in my basement. I probably should to research these things. So I'm kind of just going on what the internet tells me, and you know how the internet is. But I encourage all of our listeners, not just Fish Lips J, to if you ever find inaccuracies, call us out, and we'll do like a corrections thing on the next show with you know, like newspapers do.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll say, we said this when this was our source for this. And I can always say, you know, here's where I'm reading this from.
Mm-hmm.
Fish Lips J, for example, told us that that's actually inaccurate. Here's the real story.
Yeah, we can do that. And also, if it's a huge inaccuracy, like we said the name of the character in Super Mario Brothers was Sam or something.
The main character was Luigi.
Yeah, if we really screw something up and you call us out on it, I may just send you a game. a Steam game code if it's a big screw up on our part. So definitely, if you hear us say something wrong, call us out. Of course, we're going to research it after you call us out. We're not just going to take you for your word.
So don't just tell us that Luigi is
the main don't just say, hey, you know, Luigi was actually the main character in because we're not going to just be, we're not going to go on the next show and be like, well, Fish Lips J said it was Luigi that was the main character. Anyways,
although we could say that and say, well, listen what this guy's saying.
We won't do that. We won't do that. If you're wrong, we'll just move on.
All right. So, Mike, you want to do the shout outs this week? Or the, not shout outs, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess we could, actually, we could do shout outs because normally our shout out segment is our announcer on the show. But since this show didn't have an announcement, I'll do a quick shout out to some people. Everybody go listen to the Retro Junkies. All the shows on the Retro Junkies. We are a part of the Retro Junkies, and you need to go listen to the Retro Junkies. A few, I don't want to say any of them because there's so many, and if I forget one, I'll feel bad. But go listen to them. You know, you get the realretrojunkies.com is a good place to find them. If you go on Facebook and you find the Retro Junkies on Facebook, you'll find a lot of stuff about them. So go listen to them. And then, I guess us, you can find us on Facebook. If you're not following us on Facebook yet, get on there. Follow along.
Yep. Follow.
And
follow on Twitter.
Follow on Twitter. Talk to each other. People are starting to talk to each other more and more. I don't know if it's because we've asked them to, or if it's just because it's just becoming a thing to do, but I like it.
Let's start a Ness community.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a ton of Ness communities, but there's not a two dudes in a Ness community. So let's do that. And you can find us on Google Plus also. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher and all that good stuff. We do have two feeds now. If you want to listen to us in HD.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, on our normal feed that we push to iTunes, and I'm sorry, iTunes users, because of bandwidth issues, we have to push out a smaller feed. So the quality is a little bit less, and the reason we decided to do an HD feed is because we have a lot of music on the show. If it was just us talking, it wouldn't matter. But because we have a lot of music, we also have an HD feed. So if you want to listen in HD, you can go on Facebook and find the spot where I put the HD feed, which may be really difficult to do. Or you can listen to us on Stitcher. If you listen to us on Stitcher, that is in HD. So the music may sound slightly better.
Yeah. All right. So, do you want to drop a hint to our special summer project, or are we just going to not do a hint this week?
Okay. The hint to our special summer project is John Leguizamo.
Okay. All right.
We're reenacting the play Romeo and Juliet, modern style.
What? Why did you just have to give it away?
Sorry. Just hints. Anyways, here comes the bloops and bleeps for next week's game.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
See y'all.